With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is an official Chat and Shit disclaimer.
Yeah.
You might be listening to this thinking, oh my days, some of this sounds really dated because we're not in lockdown as much anymore.
It is.
Well, that's fine.
It's vintage.
Exactly. Some of it was recorded a little while back. Get over it.
So just play it. And if you don't like or you think, oh, that's wrong, skip it 15 seconds.
Just skip it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right, press play now.
You are now in June to the Chat and Shit podcast. Guess what? This is a podcast. And it's called Chatting Shit, boy. Welcome.
On a dark, dark day. There were two boys, one very tall and slim, the other short and fat, and they came together to make a podcast. The end. How was that?
You look short, even though you're not. It's your hunched back.
Yeah, I know. It's just part of my charm. But yeah, big up everyone. Hello and welcome to the Chat and Shit podcast with me,
yeah.
Alan, the Seeper, Mustafa, and
Hugo, the boss man, Chegwin.
Right, now, I'm excited about this week's guest because not only is it our first Mancunian, yeah?
Wow, which, yeah.
You know what that means, don't you?
Language barrier.
Yeah, well, yeah, perhaps. But also a very keen home workout expert, a high-grade vegan cook specialist.
Grade.
World-class radio DJ / presenter.
Class.
Yeah? One of the people who's been there from the beginning of our career.
We featured on our One Extra show.
Yeah, we did.
Early.
It's the wonderful, the amazing, the super talented. In fact, the talents are endless. The great Yasmin Evans.
Oi, oi! Pew, pew, pew.
Hello.
Big up. Yes, Yasmin. How you doing? Good to have you on.
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, man. Is this weird, us interviewing you now?
Yeah, it is weird. And also, it's strange. I wasn't really going to come in. You're not in character. I think it's unnecessary behaviour. Yeah. I feel uncomfortable.
We're not as interesting as ourselves.
Now I feel like I should go into character.
Yeah. It feels a bit unnatural, doesn't it? Oh, do you know what? Straight off the bat, I want you to swear, because you're allowed to swear here.
Shit, cunty knickers.
Nice!
Yeah. It's an extreme one.
Yeah, that's it. Does it feel refreshing to have to swear on a mic?
Yeah, it does actually. And also, this is really bad, but I don't like using the C word. And I feel like since lockdown, I've been using the C word quite a lot.
It's been flaring up a bit.
Yeah, it's been itching.
Good.
Yeah, you got to go for it, man. Do you know what? As well, it's a good thing if you don't like it, if you use it, because you're desensitizing the word.
Mm.
And it's like in Scotland, you know, in Scotland, they say, "Are you doing your cunt?" Like every other word.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's there's no power to it anymore.
Do you use it, you two?
Only when I'm really angry.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Hugo doesn't swear that much.
He doesn't. You don't come across as a swearer, Hugo.
No,
I do. I think.
But not now when you're like, oh fucking dick. But like I go. This is something I do way too much. And like listening back to things like this, I notice, which I try not to, but I say fucking every other word.
Oh, yeah, same.
But you use it as a thinking word.
Oh, it's fucking a filler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a little meat and sandwich.
Yeah.
It's buying yourself a moment.
Yeah, and plus it makes you sound quite cool and hard, I think, as well, doesn't it?
Or thick. Which you are, yeah. So that's fine.
I feel like exactly. You would say bollocks loads, Hugo. Like, you're like bollocks guy.
Bollocks.
No, not really.
I used to say twat quite a lot, and then And then I was like,
I say to my
husband. Yeah, but I stopped doing that. Like, it's quite a sort of middle class dad thing to say. Oh, you twat.
I say it driving.
Do you know what I like?
Yeah, I'm a driver.
What I like is I actually don't like saying the words. Like, I like the movement that comes with it, like wanker. When was the last time you did that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wanker. Yeah. Because there's a whole dance that goes with it. You know,
like, yeah. Choreography to swear words.
That's the one move you can do, Deepa.
Yeah, it's true. How have you been handling the lockdown? You're basically a key worker, aren't you?
Yeah, which was quite a shock. Didn't really realise I was that until I was told.
That's not it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Do you know what? At the beginning of lockdown, I was a little bit freaked out. I kind of like got a little bit anxious, didn't know how I was going to sort of like handle it. They extended the shows at the station and I was a bit overwhelmed. I think a lot of people obviously were overwhelmed by it because I think we all underestimated how long this was going to go on for.
Was there any moments where you thought that there weren't going to be any radio shows, or was it just, it was always a continuation?
Well, you kind of like hear loads of little different whispers of like the big bosses meeting up and it's kind of like, oh, things are going to change. And what with like One Extra not being like an FM radio station, just on digital radio, I always feel like, you know, if they had to get rid of something, they might get rid of One Extra. And it'd be absolute arms out if they did, but they didn't.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of lockdown, I was a bit worried of like, if this continues, what's going to happen? But now we're kind of like a few weeks in, I've lost track of time. Is it 7 or 8 weeks? I don't know. I kind of feel quite confident.
Yeah.
Do you have to go into the building to do the shows?
Yeah, I have to go in. So at the beginning, that's what was like a little bit scary, because obviously...
Yeah.
Figuring out how to handle this. It wasn't like an instant thing. It wasn't like, right, okay, limited amount of people, temperature check-in, blah, blah. And it's been like a slow build. So there's like been days where I'm like, oh, I just, now everything is like marked. Now there's like temperature checks when we go into the building.
Really?
So, so we still have to travel in, but we travel by car. We have to stand further away. There's like a queue to get into the building. Then it's like one in, one out in the lifts. So yes, it's quite a lot. Yeah.
That's mad. So I guess it's a lot, like in a lot of the things that's been happening, people have just been, I guess, all the rules have been put in place because people are just learning as they go. So it was kind of like that with BBC,
yeah?
That's mad. And is London, is Central just completely empty?
It's like a zombie town. There have been a few days, I feel like more recently, obviously, the weather's getting nicer, so I feel like people are pushing it a little bit, which is kind of winding me up. Because if we continue this lockdown until the rest of the year, I'm going to lose it.
I know, man.
It's so crazy. But so some days the roads are a little bit busy, but everything's shut. Like, everything is closed. You can't get nothing. Yeah. Obviously, there's a few places that do, like, Deliveroo and stuff like that. But other than that, it's empty. Even the whole building is empty. Like, that, and that's the BBC, from World Service to the news to everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it is... very limited people.
Vapiano's is closed.
Yeah, I don't even think they're doing I heard that they're going to go bust.
I heard.
What? Because of this?
Yeah.
Bruh. How are you going to eat?
That's mad. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of businesses affected by it. Like, a lot of the food industry's pretty fucked. It's, you know what? I isolated myself pretty early on. And then we got the news. Because I was kind of feeling a bit rough. So I was like, well, I don't want to spread this.
You had the big C. Did you have the big C?
Yeah. You never know. So it's just, exactly. And then we got the news, of staying in. So like the only time I've been going out is, exercise and more like the canal, like there's less people and that. But, and then the other day I just got a rush of like, oh man, I haven't actually seen anything all closed down and how people have been queuing and all that. So I just got my pushy and went round east, like had a little look around, but empty. It's mad.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. And it's proper history, isn't it? Like, we're going to remember this moment like a crazy moment in history.
Yeah, it's I have like little moments. I don't know about you guys, but I have little moments where I'm like, oh shit, this is actually really happening. Like, this is our life.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'm like, fine with it. Because I'm very much like a hermit anyway. Like, I'm a bit of an introvert.
Yeah,
like, these moments don't really... they're not really like a thing to me. Like, I just like my own company.
I've been isolated for years.
Yeah.
Just entertain myself.
Apart from killing it, doing your radio show, I guess keeping yourself busy while, you know, also helping other people
yeah.
get through their day. What apart from that, I've seen that you've done, you've been doing your home workouts, right? You've been yeah. going heavy on that.
Yeah.
Cooking.
Cooking. Yeah. I had a TV show come out for like the last month or so. That was the filmed.
SAS, yeah.
yeah, SAS Who Dares Wins, the celebrity version.
Yeah, been watching.
Yeah, so that was fun. But I filmed that last October, but it was nice to kind of like for it to come out now because obviously we get way more views.
Yeah.
yeah. We'll get on to it, but I loved that he called you a turbo shit.
Mm,
that was good.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad that you enjoyed that video. Yeah. After I fucking carried 100 kg and then all of a sudden I was turbo shit, it was like, your shit, you were even shitter, and then came to me as I'm like, in hysterics crying but trying to keep my face straight, he went, and you're fucking turbo shit
yeah.
and a little spit from his mouth landed on my face and I remember feeling like you just spat on me you've just spat on me and I want to go home.
This is a very useful part of the show for when you need things to do. It's the recommendation part.
Apart from what you've been doing, what have you actually, what have you been like, I guess, yeah, using to pass your time? So you've been cooking, you've been working out. What have you been,
I've been reading quite a bit, actually.
You been watching or listening to any things that, like, you can recommend?
I got a bit bored of watching box sets and series.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like every day I was like, what's on Amazon Prime now? Like, what can I watch? Like, and the thing is, like, especially when something is on there, like, in its entirety, I will sit there and watch it, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like these people that go like, oh no, I'll watch one week and then I'll come back next week. It's all there, Sharon. Watch it all.
yeah, yeah, you've got nothing else.
I can't do that. So like, I've rinsed everything.
Yeah. Well, I guess where you said you're a bit of a hermit, that you kind of were already doing that before this, right? Yeah. So now you need
watched everything.
Something else. Like, now books. Let's get into books. Let's get into books.
You know now mean? Everyone else is doing it. It's got to move on.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
I started running, which I never do.
Oh, no.
Oh, really? I thought, because you're into your fitness and that, but you never did running, really? Then.
No, you need to watch SAS, because when I run, I'm at the back. I'm behind Anthea Turner, mate.
Yeah.
I can't run. Do any of you two run? Do you run?
I just started.
I have to just, yeah, we just have to just, like, we're not exactly fully in shape, but we like eating, so we kind of have to run. I don't love doing it, but I feel good afterwards, and I feel good for it, and mentally it helps me as well, but yeah, I'm probably not the best runner.
How far have you run, Hugo?
I did 5K 3 days in a row about a month ago, and then I gave up.
Nice.
3 days in a row, 5K every day is a lot.
That's all you need a month.
My foot was hurting.
3 days in a row, once a month. Sweet.
Yeah, I've been doubling in size every week, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the quarantine snacking is a lot. I've done a challenge to run 100K in May.
Wow. But what?
Which is, when you break it down, it's actually not too bad, because it's like
yeah.
three and a bit a day, and you don't have to run it. You can jog, you can walk, you can cycle, whatever. So.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's.
I got an app which basically tells you to run and then walk and then run. So
oh yeah,
it...
so you can do it in like a gradual. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, because otherwise, what was that?
Just burst. Sorry, I was just adding to it.
Oh, right, yeah. I thought you were insulting me.
Oh no, no.
For once, you were
fat there. Cunt. Huh? Yeah.
There we go. That's what I was waiting for.
There we go. Back to normal. So what books you been reading?
I'm going to show you one right now. Hang on.
Nice.
This is called The Emotion Code. It's a bit deep. Get ready for it.
Okay.
How to release your trapped emotions for abundant health, love, and happiness.
Wow.
Yeah.
So like therapy in a book.
Pretty much. Look at the size of it. It's thick. Basically, yeah. It's just kind of like, you know, like your subconscious, what you kind of like shut away in a box. And I feel like right now, in terms of like being, I live by myself, so I'm kind of self-isolating, solo-isolating, I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, yeah.
Haven't, like, the only people that I'm really seeing are people, like, walking past the studio for a little bit, and that's about it, and people in the street. So felt like around this time is when you start thinking, and then things kind of, like, start coming about in your brain. Like, some people might be going absolutely crazy right now. And like, you know, things just start unearthing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you haven't got as many distractions. So you're sort of getting back into what's actually there, isn't it? Yeah.
It must be tough on your own. I mean,
Hugo's just had a kid. So your whole thing has been.
Have you?
Well, a year ago. Yeah.
A year ago.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah.
15 years ago. He's a grown man now.
Yeah. He's 21, the little prick.
No, but it's it though. Like I get that, and like I feel like it's a time. I mean, it's a cliche, and a lot of people are saying it, but it's true. Like now we've got less things to do. It is time to kind of, I guess, look inwards a little bit more.
Yeah.
Whether that means, you know, what you're doing, like mentally, or even like the physical stuff. Yeah. It's just like working on ourselves a little bit more, isn't it?
I feel like a lot of people.
Do you find it useful?
Yeah, because I was thinking that maybe a lot of people would struggle because, and I don't mean this as a diss, but you know, sometimes you don't really know yourself. So you can't be at home with yourself because you might actually piss yourself off you haven't really spent time with yourself. So you don't really know, for want of a better phrase, you don't really know who you are.
Yeah, it's true.
So it can feel super uncomfortable.
If you're busy all the time and working, socializing.
Yeah.
Exactly. And like if work has been like your main focus and, it's like the people who maybe, and I'm at fault for it, and you guys probably as well, but when you like are consumed by work, like when you were doing the show, like, and you're obviously in character constantly, or like, you were never yourself, like in any of the interviews. So you almost become grinder, like it's, and then to pull yourself away from that, you could be like, oh, fucking hell, wait. I haven't tuned in with Hugo in ages. Like, fuck, that's actually me. Like, didn't know that was me. Oh my God. Oh my God. Wait, my friend's outside. Look at this. This is hilarious. Hi. I wish I could come outside, but I'm recording a podcast.
I wish I'd come outside, but I'm talking to these two ugly guys on Zoom.
Love you. Aw. Any of your friends come to visit you guys yet?
I don't really have friends. No jokes. Do you know what? I've had things where, because people live quite local, when I go on a run or whatever, I'll see people. But it is that same thing, you know, I'm a lot more, you just sounded gassed to see your friend there.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, but that's it, because usually, you'd be happy, but it's not the same, is it? Like, it's more special than people in small bursts. Like, I'd usually probably want to keep just running and just nod at someone that I know. But I remember the other day, I was up for a chat for like 15 minutes, man. Mad, what you been on, man? Yeah, it's been isolating.
Yeah, I can't wait to see people.
It's so crazy. Like, the other day I was thinking, like, who am I going to hug? Like, who's going to be the first person that I hug? I have to choose wisely, but who is it going
to
be?
Do you reckon we're going to have like...
temperature gun.
We're going to have to have like forms that we've signed that we've been tested. Oh, you can hug me. Oh, okay, cool.
They're testing out these apps. Have you heard about the apps?
Yeah.
I don't know how it works.
That would like warn you if someone's close to you that's had coronavirus, but you don't have to get the app if you don't want to. I don't know if that's going to work.
I've still got the sort of old school, like, anti... establishment underground music sort of mentality of like, I don't want to sign up for that because the government are going to know where I am.
They don't give
it. I mean, they would.
Right. I've got a little thing on my MacBook here that flicks on and off the camera.
Oh, yeah. I've got that.
I put a sticker on my camera before this podcast.
Listen, it's always listening because Siri just starts chatting shit sometimes, Matt.
Same. Do you know what happened? Yeah, I got an email. I got an email saying, pay this amount of money because we've got videos of you masturbating. Yeah? And I was like, what? And instead of being rational, I was like, shit, fuck. And I messaged the boys and they were like, it's obvious, they're obviously chatting shit. And in that moment, I was so fed up. I was like, but how did they know I was wanking then?
Oh my God.
And then I ran downstairs and even though, it was just a bump, it was a scam, I put some masking tape over my camera and stop wanking forever. So, better to be safe, isn't it?
Funnier when you're pent up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Ask. If you don't ask, boy, you don't get. Ask.
All right, Yasmin. So take us to the beginning of your story then. When
once upon a time, long, long ago, a man and a woman came together. Well, maybe my parents. I don't know where I was going with it.
So being from Manchester, obviously you started, you're originally from Manchester,
yeah,
right?
I'm originally from Manchester. I grew up in Stockport. My mum lived there. My mum and dad aren't together. My dad's side of the family lived in kind of like Moss Side, Hume area. So I kind of would split my time between them. It was so weird. So before I got into this industry, before I worked at One Extra, I was a florist.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just a job that kind of happened. I think maybe I got the job through like work experience at high school.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So I've been working since I was 12 because my mum's a slave driver.
My mum's the same.
And I worked in a hairdresser's up until I was about 15. Then I got the florist job and I worked there for ages. I went to...
Were you going like college and uni and all that sort of stuff as well?
Yeah. So I was going to college and uni when I was at the florist, and also I was volunteering, like paying my subs at... we'll have to say community radio, but we all know it's pirate. So I was doing that, and I did a disability awareness show because I used to volunteer. My mum's a social worker. I used to volunteer with people who had cerebral palsy and Down syndrome and lots of different types of disabilities. And I would do like music therapy with them, art therapy with them. And so it just led me to do this disability awareness show on this radio station. And I'd just go in for like an hour and play a few different tunes on someone else's show. Then I started to just do my own thing on there and kind of enjoyed it. I hated the sound of my own voice though. So I'd just play like proper old school tunes. Like my selections are very like Trevor Nelson. So not what you would probably expect like a 19-year-old at the time playing, or even maybe younger than that. I definitely started at the station when I was 15. And then I just continued doing that. And then I wanted to do performing arts, so I wanted to be an actor. And when I applied for uni, this Salford Uni called me and said, well, you know, you kind of do a radio show and your background in media at college looks as if you should probably do TV and radio because it's kind of an amalgamation of them both. So I was like, yeah, all right, because I didn't think I was going to go to Salford because that just felt like still home to me. And I was like, I wanted to move away. I wanted to go to Sheffield Hallam. And then when I looked at the course, I was like, oh, is that? This kind of looks okay. And I can still move out, but still be at home. So yeah, I did a TV and radio course at uni. That was for 3 years. On my final year, like at the beginning of my final year, someone reached out to me over Twitter, and she was a producer of the One Extra Breakfast show at the time with Twin. She was called Emma. And like I knew some of the producers there because basically I used to work with Tim Westwood doing his guest list.
Oh, shit.
At like Sankey's in Manchester.
The big dog, yeah.
Big dog.
Yeah, and that was just a little like side hustle at uni, you know, like to kind of like sort the list out and then send it to the club and all this stuff. So I think he used to do a feature on One Extra called College Dropout or something like that. And I went to London and I was on that. So I met the producers and he did a Q&A at my uni. And I kind of like met the producers through that. And I won some tickets to One Extra Live. That was in 2011. So I would have been about 2021. Then in 2012, literally the exact, like to the year, I was then going to One Extra Live to host the stage because I'd gone through like a piloting scheme. So throughout the last year of uni, I was doing my final dissertation, my final project, and I was going back and forth to London to just kind of like do some pilots.
Does that mean that like One Extra had a link to your uni kind of thing to that search for new talent?
No, I just someone just found me on Twitter. So after like seeing that there's more to just like one person in the studio, because that was what I was used to, I was like, oh, there's actually a producer that does all the stuff that you don't have to do. Oh, there's actually someone that fixes the studio, you don't have to do that. Oh shit, okay, there's actual microphones, you don't have to use headphones. Cool. Yeah. So I just kind of like breaded everyone on Twitter, and then she followed me, listened to my show, and was like, oh, she reached out to me. I was in New York at the time, and I came back and did a few pilots, and I was meant to do 8 in like a month and a half. I got to my 6th or 7th one, and they offered me the weekend breakfast show.
Oh, wow.
So that was just like Saturday and Sunday. And I was like, oh my God, because I was kind of told that they wouldn't really call me back. If they liked me, cool. If not, whatever.
How does it work with radio pilots? You're recording like a half an hour show or an hour or whatever and pretending people are listening.
Pretty much. So like you'll just go in the studio and act as if you're doing a live show, and the producer will kind of like, you know, teach you how to work the desk. And yes, so that was pretty much it. So I would get the train to London for like almost 3 hours and just for 20 minutes sometimes, and then go home.
Did you ever feel a way about being from like Manchester, like not being from where it's all sort of popping basically?
Yeah.
Or did that give you more?
Well, I didn't necessarily grow up around the music scene in Manchester, but like the final few years of me living there, I was more involved in it because obviously I was just becoming known more as a DJ, so people were just linking up with me way more, and like, like obviously I've known like Broken English, I've known Strats and Chimpo and everyone for like years. They're like older brothers to me, it's a different world, yes, but also I think like I've still got that northern mentality, as I'm really laid back, and I know that, you know, what was for me is for me. Like I think sometimes at a fault, we're not hungry enough from the north, but we're also not like giving it the big one all the time.
Like, I think it's an attractive quality because it's like a chilled out confidence. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's not thirsty.
You know, there's a lot of like desperate people out there, and you can sort of smell that on people, and it's an unattractive quality in this industry that we're in. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know about you guys, but I feel like with obviously London being such a big city, like you just, and there's so much going on and there's so many creatives creating, it's quite constant, and it's like very competitive, and you guys down here, like, it's literally one speed and it's fucking go.
Yeah, I mean, not us, but yeah.
We're lazy.
Hugo's like, yeah.
No, you're right.
So yeah, that's pretty much how it started. And then I did the Weekend Breakfast Show for about 6 months, and then I got the breakfast show, as you guys know, you came on the show a zillion times. And I did
your first show on My Next Show is the one that we came on.
Yeah. So the Weekend one was my first show, and I was still working as a florist at the same time.
Wow.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I didn't move to London until I got the breakfast show, because obviously it was 5 days a week. So I had to quit my job and then move to London, and because obviously I was earning a bit more money so I could live here. Mm. And yeah, then I did the breakfast show for 4 years, and then I do the Monday to Thursday, but Monday to Friday, 1 till 4. I've been at One Extra for 9 years.
That's mad. Wow. Fucking hell.
I know.
When did you come on? In like 2014 or something? 13, 14 maybe. You started in 2012.
Yeah, maybe 2014. And then do you remember we did a tour, like a writer's tour?
Yeah.
Did we go to Birmingham or something?
Yeah. Nottingham, but I think it was Birmingham. Yeah. You were hosting.
Yeah, I think that was 2013. Or would it have been 14?
Yeah, and then maybe went on the show a year before. But we were just all in character, innit? Like, but it worked because you guys understood the show. Like, I think that's the only thing that worked. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I do. I remember meeting you all for the first time. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And everyone thought everyone was like...
I remember being quite nervous.
Were you nervous, Hugo?
Yeah.
We all were.
Every time, apart from when we did Charlie Sloth Takeover, because the producer had planned everything. I felt quite comfortable, but yeah, even when we did our 60 minutes, I was shitting myself.
I mean, it's an iconic 60 minutes though, isn't it?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the good ones.
You fucking brought back Craig David, mate.
I know, that is mad.
Yeah, that was...
Like, when you actually think about it, because I remember, like, he used to post these little videos on Instagram and we used to take the piss and on the breakfast show.
Clean, drain, dirty.
Yeah.
50% incline, 3 miles per hour. I remember the lyrics. And then when we heard he was coming in for your 60 minutes, we're like, oh, they're going to rip him to shreds. What happened was, like, iconic. You actually brought him back.
It's mad.
But if you deep...
Yeah. I rate you because, like, I mean, this is just from the outside looking in, but, you know, around the time where Avid Merian sort of took the piss out of him, after that is when he kind of went quiet. So for him, like, want to link up with... Like, our management is like, you try Craig David, and we're like, what? He's not going to want to do that. Like, he's just going to be like, think he's going to get terror.
Yeah.
To be fair, I don't think he knew who we were, but I think people were like saying you should do it. And we'd never heard that Diplo beat before. So when it dropped, that was genuine reaction in the whole room, I think. So
yeah, and I think when we take the piss and terrorize it, that the joke's always on us. You know what I mean? It's not like ever coming from a bad place.
Yeah.
So like even when we're saying review, when we're saying like Jasmine instead of
Tamsin.
Yeah, Tamsin. Yeah. It's because
Tamsin Elfway.
That's, you know what, that just comes from word association. I was like, Jasmine, Tamsin Alfway. It's not even funny. Like, even then, if it's out of our set of, our, you know what I mean, us being thick as characters.
Yeah, honestly, when you guys first came in, I remember saying to my manager, like, I think it was actually maybe the second year of me being on the Breakfast Show.
Yeah.
And it was a slow build. Like, I wasn't very well known, like, because Twin had done the Breakfast Show for like 2 years prior to me joining. So everyone was like, the fuck is she?
Yeah.
I remember saying to my manager, like, I need to be on Corrupt FM. Like, I can do this. And she was like, I was like, no, I need to be on this show. I was dying. I need to get on it.
Yeah.
She's like, well, can you act? I was like, I can fucking act. I was like, get me on that now. I'll take acting lessons. I did. I didn't take acting lessons to be on Corrupt FM. Just do nothing. But I did take.
Yeah, yeah. I think it just, you just need to know the tone, isn't it? Like, you just need to know the tone of what.
I've got the tone down. When you bring it back,
spot on. Yeah, yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, it's Ron here. I've been feeling a little bit anxious recently. But I'm hoping to get over it. So I'm just having a little listen to this podcast to calm me down right now. Okay. See y'all later.
Those moments of us going on to One Extra, they proper changed shit for us, like live shows, yeah, everything. Sick. Like before, we were just doing it.
Well, because you're only on iPlayer before, isn't it, Hugo? So like going on those and having clips like that, become,
that got us bookings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where we still didn't know what we
were doing. I think it's amazing what things can happen, like how things happen and how things grow from different moments. I think we underestimate that wholeheartedly because we go like, oh, you know what? That's not really my vibe. I don't want to do that. There's been so many times. I'm such a stubborn person. I am so stubborn. And there's been so many times. And one thing that I have learned in like the past 2 years is that if I think it's not for me, but I know I can do it, then I should just do it.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, if I'm not feeling it, if it's not like a pure thing, if it's really not like heart and soul for me, then yeah, okay, I won't do it. But like it's like a little lily pad, isn't it? It's kind of like, it all comes together. Like, it's just so, it's like what I was saying earlier is that just because I'm a radio presenter doesn't mean that I'm not an actor. I had like this wild conversation. I'm going to name drop, guys. You ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
I had a conversation with Denzel Washington. Just let that sit there.
Whoa, fucking hell. I thought you were going to say something that I probably know and I would roll my eyes. Wow.
So I was really lucky enough to interview him for the Equalizer franchise. And I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna audition in front of Denzel Washington. But I was shitting it and I was like, I don't want it to make it all about me. So maybe I'll just do one of his parts that he's done and just recite like a monologue. Yeah, so I did like the monologue from Training Day where he's at the end, spoiler alert,
classic,
he dies. So I was writing it all out and I was properly going for it. So we're in this hotel in near the Thames. And So I was like, oh, I want to do a monologue for you. But I was like sweating, shitting myself. I was like, am I going to do this seriously? Or am I going to have a joke and have a laugh with Denzel Washington? Because I'm also thinking this has got to go on radio. So at the beginning, I was like having a little joke and a laugh. And then something sunk in, like, this is Denzel Washington. Like, you need to show him that you can act. So I started taking it seriously. And he went, whoa, whoa, whoa. He was like, whoa, cut. He was like, cut, cut. And I was like, oh God, what's going on? He was like, you can act. And I was like, I didn't know what to say. And I was like, well, I do take acting lessons a little bit. You know, you're like shooting yourself. You know, you're trying to like dumb yourself down a bit because you don't want to show up.
Well, I mean, I did take a few acting lessons.
But I've done it for 8 years.
But... And then he was like, you need to go for it. I was like, oh. And then he said this to me. He was like, if you don't tell people you are an actor, you will not be an actor. So like for you saying like, oh yeah, no, I act a little bit, or yeah, oh, I do a little bit here and there. It's like, well, people like, if you want to write, tell people you're a writer. You might not even put pen to paper yet, but you know you've got it in. If you tell people, obviously don't lie, don't bullshit, don't go, yeah, I'm a writer, and you never, you're not.
Have you written anything? Not yet.
Not yet, but.
But no, you're right, because like our type of, especially me and you guys, our type of, well, actually all of us boys, our type of sense of humor is to just like, put ourselves down and take the piss out of ourselves, as well as obviously taking the piss out of other people, but not taking things seriously. But like, I remember I went, like, the only thing I'd done outside of People Do Nothing, like, big thing, was this film that I'd just done it. I filmed in Rome.
I've watched it on Netflix, don't worry. Right,
nice one, thank you. Well, you know that I do look like a bloody model then. So, but when I was on that, I remember being like, joking about going, I'm a competition winner. Like, that's how I've got here. You know, like I can say, I'm not really an actor, and me and my mates just fucked about it. But then it became like, you can tell, like, there is a difference, because that sort of becomes like the reality. If you're telling someone that's never met you before, then they're going to treat you a little bit like that. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. It is. And that's like what I was talking about with the book, though, because the book always also talks about energy. Like, and it's such a magnet. Like, our body and our mind sometimes can't differentiate between, like, true words and false words, you know, like, especially like, if you are a female and you kind of look, oh God, I feel fat today, like, you know that you do not look fat, like, what you believe fat to be, but like, you keep saying that, like, you feel it, like, you will actually feel it in your body, like, your words carry such power.
Yeah, that's something I'm learning.
You use those things as a bit of a safety blanket, I think.
Yeah
that's definitely what I do. Like, I'm shit, but I'll give it a go.
What do they call it? Oh God, it's like when you feel like you're in a place that you don't belong. What's it called?
Imposter syndrome.
No. Imposter syndrome. Yeah. So
I feel like that. Constantly.
When you guys went to the BAFTAs, right?
Yes.
Oh, Matt. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm assuming, because I've been to the BAFTAs before, and I was all and I was like, I don't fucking belong here. This is not for me.
That is a prime example for us. For me personally, I know you guys are. That's the prime example. If we're going to say imposter syndrome, that's how we felt there.
Yeah.
Especially the first time. Even the time we won, it wasn't until the time we weren't even nominated, but we'd already been there like 3 times. And I felt a little bit more comfortable. There was no pressure.
Yeah.
I'd recognized a few people, so I didn't feel so out of place. But you still always have that. But I think it's important, because it keeps you grounded.
Yeah.
And it also gives you, like, you look a different angle as well. You're not just like comfortable.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? Like,
I just felt like I related more to, like, the people working there than the big
city. Oh my God, yes.
Like, yeah.
I was really nice to the staff.
Yeah, yeah.
Same. Yeah, and so you should be.
Do you know what it is?
I also feel like there's all like, when you go to all these little like bougie events, there are some twats there, aren't there?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twats. And you just like, and you should be friendly to the staff, because you can't go to the BAFTAs and you can't have your drinks and your dinner without the people that are fucking running around in a suit and tie, sweating in the kitchen. Like, we're all like, oh, John, do you know what? What's the fuck wrong?
And I have more interesting chats with those people anyway. You know, like, you end up getting pissed and just having some weird chat that sounds weird and normal. There's dickheads and...
Yeah.
I'm sure some of the staff are twats as well.
Yeah,
but like, there's nice people and dickheads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, true. That is true. That is true. And you know what? I've actually met some people who you would probably think, you've got way more right to be a twat than the one that's actually being a twat. 100%. Like, yeah. Denzel Washington did not have to say, like, you could act.
Yeah.
Like, he could have been like,
no, yeah.
He'd be like, why are you shut? Why are you doing a fucking monologue? Get out.
Yeah. And you know what? It's about you being told that has left you with, like, first of all, a cool story, but also a confidence that's gone into you. But it just shows about moments as well, because, that could have been a moment where he was tired and couldn't be fucked, but you got him in the right moment. You know what I mean? So it's all like...
I do kind of like pride myself in terms of like making people feel like another human being when I have a conversation with them. Like, and I would hate for them to act like the big celebrity. Like, I can't deal with that shit. Like, I've been in situations where I've interviewed someone and they are of a high celebrity status. Like, I can't fake it, and I don't feel like we should, because you cut us open, we all bloody bleed the same. Like, and people are really on their soapbox. And I know that, especially like someone that's been in the industry for so many years, is probably tired of doing many interviews and things like that, and, you know, promoting this, and they're in a contract to promote this. And like you said, they could have a bad day. But like, my thing is, like, once you step into my studio or in my space, like, I'm hoping that we can connect and we can both feel relaxed and like, maybe I could help you smile on your bad day, or like, you know, do you know, just that's why I pride myself. I'm a bit charming.
Yeah, if you do say so for yourself.
I do say so.
And disarming people, isn't it? There's a psychology to your job, I guess. At the end of the day, it's not just a normal, natural conversation. You are being filmed for it, or you are being recorded, but being as honest as you possibly can within that, because there's so many, and people can see that, especially these days. Like, there's so many presenters that are just dead inside and they're just doing the same thing. So that's a real skill that can...
I feel like those people are doing it for them to kind of, this might be the wrong thing to say, but promote themselves rather than like asking good questions or making people feel comfortable. It's more like, I'm a presenter.
Yeah,
I'm
putting some good stuff. I mean, we're presenters now. Yeah.
Would you guys do, like, obviously you've got the podcast now, like, would you guys go on to do like radio shows? Like, would you basically do sort of similar things to what you're doing, but just not in character now? Like, are the characters dead in the ground?
Characters, I mean, quite a few questions there,
sorry. Turn the whole podcast around.
Well, we've got the film coming out, so I'm sure
So like the characters, after the film they'll be
Really, I really appreciate you asking me to be a part of the film. Sorry I couldn't make the filming day.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing a film with Denzel. It would just be So the film's ready and finished, and there's no additional bonus scenes.
Presenter roles for promoting it afterwards. Yasmin?
Like I said, I'm an actor now. But cool.
Well, act what you know is what they say, isn't it?
I don't think I'd be... I mean, yeah, radio show, I kind of like chatting, but in a more of a sort of a, I guess, really disorganised way. But
I did enjoy when we took over Charlie Slough's show. I thought that was really fun.
We were in character then, but that was sick.
Yeah.
Well, you just hide behind the character.
So that's exactly what you guys need, is like no constraints, no rules, and be able to just do whatever you want. Yeah, which is probably why you do this podcast, chatting shit. So let me just forget the question, because it's right in front of me. Yes, Yasmin, you're fucking on it now.
What happened with the SAS thing then, man? You're not in it anymore, right?
No, I'm not in it anymore, and thank you very much. Thank you for...
You tapped out?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't actually tap out.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I got pulled out.
You firmed it.
Yeah. I got trench foot.
Right. Wow. Is that the same as gangrene?
No, it's not the same as gangrene, actually. No, it's still in the same family. Still a World War injury.
Right. I was writing some notes, for today. And then I wrote, got gangrene. And I went, hold on, no, let me check. Oh, trench foot.
It's some sort of fungus.
Right. Basically, trench foot is when your foot's just damp constantly.
Okay.
And then, like, fungus does grow. Like, you know, like when you've been in the bath for too long, like, your foot is just constantly all wrinkly, raisiny. And then it swells really bad. And then I had two infections underneath my toenails. So, like, one of my toenails split, was constantly bleeding.
Fucking hell.
Then because I had the trench foot, like, I started to get an infection that was going into my feet, not just fungus underneath the toenail. It was like the pus was seeping into like the bloodstream. It was a lot.
Yeah.
The doctor comes in on the first day and he goes, right, so now you've got the first day over and done with, I'm here to let you know like what you could get on this experience. So he goes, like, so now you're starting to realize that you're probably going to get some bruising and some swelling. Check your body for ticks because you could get Lyme's disease.
Where is it, Phil? Where are you?
It's really far north of Scotland. So it's like Isle of Rassy. It's like a little island, freezing cold.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, your feet will get swollen. Your skin might fall off. And I was like, whoa.
Jesus.
Wheel up. My skin might fall off. He was like, yeah, because of the damp. And I was like, fuck me. So I was trying to moisturize my skin a lot because I could feel my feet go in. Next minute, like one day, I was like looking at the bottom of my feet and I was like, it looked like a sponge. You know, like a sponge got like little holes in it.
Yeah.
And my skin was literally like peeling on the bottom. And then my toenails fell off.
Oh my God.
Do you actually stay in that room?
Yeah. Everyone's like, what happens when the cameras go off? The cameras never go off. You know, they wake you up sometimes for a bee sting to do 100 burpees on rocks at 3 a.m. It's 24/7. It is amazing, but it is hell.
Did you watch it before and think, yeah, I could do that? Because I watch it and think, oh, I reckon I could do that. But then
I did watch the series. Yeah. I don't think I ever thought that I would get the opportunity to do it.
You're bad into fitness and stuff, don't it? You work out every day.
Yeah. But I was also on like with professional athletes.
Yeah.
So my fitness was not like anything like Tony Bloody Bellew or Lauren Steadman, who's a Paralympian, who lapped me in minus 15 degree water. She's an Olympian.
Yeah, exactly.
And she had one arm, and I was like, God. And I remember she said to me, she went, I beat you even with a stump. And I was like, yes, I know.
But would Denzel approve of her?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So if you didn't stop, that's probably one of those things where your foot would have just got cut off, right? If it got worse.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the, like, my teammates are like, I'm scared that your foot might drop off. Like, Lauren, who obviously is like, she's got a lot of Paralympic friends, and she was speaking about her friend who lost her leg, and she said that prior to her losing the leg that it looked a little bit like mine. And I was like, whoa. Hold on a second. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I'm just being cautious. I was like, you freak me out, mate.
Yeah. And then like, how does it work? Like even like contract, you're just like, my leg's fucked, I can't do this.
So they kind of like, well, at the point where I got called, so they pulled me out, I was just like, I was probably the weakest because of my injuries. And so they need to obviously whittle it down because it's only 8 days.
Yeah.
And so they need to kind of like get people away and get, you know, the show done, basically. So I was just basically just, I was just in pain. And they were just like, listen, you give it your 100%, but it's just not good enough right now. And I was I remember they pulled me, Lauren and Joey forward. So you kind of don't know who's going to go.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was nation process type thing.
Yeah. And I had spoke to the team before and I was like, guys, I think I'm going to have to quit. I think I'm going to have to VW. And everyone was like, no, don't quit. And I remember standing there and I felt like I was going to rip my number off, but I couldn't move because I was like, I just didn't want to quit. That was my whole aim, was do as much as you can. If you can't do, they're going to pull you out. And that's just it. Like, I didn't want to quit because I find like, oh, I can't do it, I'll give up. Like, I give up so easily.
Yeah.
So I remember feeling like, rip off your band. And I just couldn't. And I remember looking at Ant because he was like fucking effing and jeffing, walking up and down. And I was looking at him in the eye and I was thinking in my head, pull me out quick because I feel like I'm going to die. I was like, pull me out. And then he was like, number 12, get out. And then I went to the doctor's room. I shut the door and I was like, ah! In like a mess on the floor. I was like, ah! And then he comes in to kind of like say congratulations. And I literally just like folded it on an ant and he was like, back off.
So you never gave up though?
No, I didn't give up. They pulled me out, which I'm happy about. And then kind of just go into recovery. Like, the way you feel when you come out though is wild. It's wild because you haven't been around like normal life. Like, it's so weird. You just go into this instant different reality and it is so hardcore. It's so constant. You feel like you're there for about 4 years. And obviously it's such a condensed version of what the real forces go through. Like, it gives them so like a different level of respect to them. And when I came out, I was kind of really into kind of sort of looking at what help people get when they come out of the forces, like whatever forces they're in. And there wasn't much, but like, because I really felt like if it was like 3 or 4 days, I couldn't walk, like my feet were that swollen. And I was rushed to hospital by the team who were really supportive, but I couldn't have conversations with people. I couldn't even, like, it was my birthday. I didn't really do anything for my birthday. I went to a hotel, like, locked myself away for like 4 days.
So what you're saying is after doing a celebrity TV show, you then get PTSD.
I'm not saying that.
I'm playing. No, I get it. It's that jump back into reality. And the thing is, you actually had an actual injury as well. You weren't just like...
It's wild. It is actually wild. Doing your own swap. What's that?
Were you fucking knackered as well? I bet it was just...
Oh, my God. You don't get any sleep. You get... Oh, towards the end, you get about 2 or 3 hours a night, if that. But you're always on edge. So you have to fall asleep dressed. In case they
scream at you to wake up and do drill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, for about a week... maybe even more, after coming out, I'd go to bed and I'd like shit myself and like wake up and be like, no, Yasmin, you're in your actual home, it's fine.
And just like, yes, thank God.
Yeah, fucking hell. Like,
no drill.
Sweating
no drill.
In the night.
No drill tonight. Yeah.
Fucking getting up, doing burpees in my room. Like, fuck.
Wow, DJ Ostrich, why you stop the show? Well, I tell you, bro, this is the most important part. It's the question everybody wants to know. No, it is not what is your favorite jean fit. No, it is not what is your favorite size inch television. It's what is your favorite sandwich? Is it chicken? Is it salami? Is it cheese? Is it ham? Is it pickle? Is it jam? These are all questions I'm sure you are thinking. But right now you're gonna find out on the Chat and Shit podcast. Yeah, baby, come on.
Right, so now we come to the last part, the second to last part of the show, the most important part.
Very important.
Right.
For me anyway, is what's your favourite sandwich?
Oh, now. Mm. Well, does it have to be made of bread? Can it be a roti?
Yeah.
Is a roti kind of like a sandwich? It's kind of like a wrap.
Yeah, you can have it as a wrap, right?
Okay, well, I like a curried vegetable roti, but if I did have to choose a sandwich,
yeah,
it would be like, I'm vegan.
Sorry, Yasmin, just quick. Okay, because you sound quite inspired by this question, I'm going to give you top three.
Okay, I love it. Okay, so I'm vegan, so apologies to anyone who is... vegan
normal.
Anyone who enjoys things.
So I like, can I just create it myself, or does it have to be one that's made?
I'll create.
Okay. So I would like a fried chicken, but obviously it'd be chicken without the eye, because I don't know why they do that. Fried chicken, buffalo sauce on a brioche bun,
nice,
with maybe some pickles, lettuce, and shitloads of mayonnaise, and then I would add some hot sauce on there.
Nice.
With the buffalo.
Yeah.
That is a classic sandwich. That's a Nashville hot.
Thank you.
But for the vegan version.
Yeah.
So that's a strong sandwich. Number two.
Okay, number two, I'd probably go for the curried vegetable roti.
Strong.
That's what I'll go for. Very simple. If you don't know what it is, Google it. Flaky roti, though,
Yeah,
it has to be flaky. And then number three, is a bao a sandwich or not?
Let's go with it. I'd say let's go with it. Because with mine, I put a drama in there, I put a banh mi.
So okay. Okay. I'm going to go with a bao, a mushroom bao, but the mushrooms have to be breaded.
Yeah, oh, nice. Yeah.
Bit of hoisin.
Yeah. Few cucumbers.
Oh, all right. So we know you like your food and you can cook.
Yeah,
you asked me. You fucking throw it in then.
Just chuck it in.
A little minced ginger, a bit of cumin,
And I think it says a lot about, we actually haven't spoke about why we asked this question, Hugo, and I was thinking about, I was adding a bit more depth to it when I was doing the washing up the other day. Actually, it's not just because I think it's a funny question, that's why we originally did it, but it actually says a lot about someone, doesn't it? Makes you real.
Yeah, what does it say about me then?
That you're extra.
Can I do a bow?
The boundaries.
It shows, I guess, because your sandwiches, especially if it's top three, a lot of the time it'll be stuff that it means comfort for you, maybe what you grew up with or what you've been through or what you're into. Do you know what I mean? So top three, I think, is a good one. That's a good way to go now.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I'm interested to see, the people that, Like, if we were going to go simple, I'm not calling people simple, but kind of am. Like, if someone goes like, oh, prawn mayo.
Yeah. Oh, no, we've had... who's
what do you want
Tim
with
Key
it?
Tim Key had ham, egg and tomato.
Tim Key. Yeah, ham, egg and tomato. Yeah.
Ham, egg and tomato?
No, no.
Yeah. What?
That's what I said. I want bacon, egg and tomato.
Ham, bacon, egg and tomato, or ham, cheese and tomato?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not one to judge. It's your sandwich, pal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, I need... But what's in it? Because now you said, if as soon as someone says, oh, I just got a ham, egg and tomato sandwich, I'm just looking at a Warburton's bread.
Yeah.
But not, it's dry. Like, you've not even said mayo. You're not even buttered. Like, give me no some more detail.
I guess you're using the egg.
You need the detail, man.
The three questions.
Right, and then now the last part of the show, which is actually the most important part because it's more about us.
Okay, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
It's about us.
You've got to ask us 3 questions each.
3 questions each. Okay. Right. Alan, here's your first question. What's your favourite sex position?
Wow. Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. Okay.
Be honest.
I don't know if I've done that before.
I think Hugo is actually blushing for you.
Yeah, because I know what it is.
What? Tommy style.
I love how you just shrugged.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Hugo, your first one. Don't worry, not going to ask you the same. Would you rather have dicks as fingers or vaginas as eyes?
Wow.
Dicks as fingers.
Why is that?
Because he's sexist.
Because I can still see and, you know, they... Once you get used to it.
Can I ask?
Yeah, go on.
Can you still see through the vagina eyes?
Yeah, you can still see through the vagina eyes.
Yeah, still dick thing.
You want more dicks?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wants 9 more dicks.
Something to do.
All right, Alan. Your second question. All right, you're on the Titanic. You're jumping off the Titanic. And you can only save 1 more member... of Corrupt FM. They all have to perish and freeze to death in the ground. And you can't actually, right, I'm gonna make it easy. You can't choose Hugo because he's right there.
That's harder because I can always just be like, nah, it's because he was on the show, so I have to say Hugo.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to say as well, just big ratings to Yasmin, because we never tell our guests they've got to ask us questions. This is off the cuff. I mean, this is your job, so you're like, I'm glad you've been coming with
it. I think I went a bit raw. I should have done this the other way around.
These are all like theoretical things. Mine about my love life, friends.
Sorry.
You're just ripping my life.
Go on, quit. Like, the boat is sinking. You've got no time.
Steve, because me and him work together and Steve.
Oh my God, they're going to listen to this.
I'd rather just survive on my own and just kill them all.
Good answer.
All right, Hugo, your second question is, you can only listen to one artist for the rest of your life. Who is it?
Kanye.
Interesting.
You didn't think he'd like Kanye, innit?
No, not, I just feel like I would choose someone that gives me sadness, happiness and all different things. But like I say, it's your question, Hugo. What album would you take?
Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Rogue. Wasn't expecting that. Not even like College Dropout.
I prefer Dark Twisted Fantasy to College Dropout, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, it's your answer. It is your answer. Right, Alan, your third question is, this is similar to Hugo, one dish for the rest of your life.
Oh, that is so... Even when someone asked me this, in real life, I couldn't really give him an answer. I mean, this is real life, but... oh, man.
You're really stressed.
I know, man. I feel like it's defined you, innit? And I feel like it's
crazy. Don't overthink it.
Probably spaghetti bolognese.
Okay. No, it's good. It's good, actually.
Sometimes I could be like, well, I'm just going to go vegetarian today and just have the noodles on its own. A bit of salt. And then sometimes
yeah.
I have a bit of meat.
Yeah. All right, spag bol. All right, Hugo's final question is, if you were an animal, what animal would you be? And why?
Maybe. No, that can't be a maybe. I'd be a killer whale.
Why is that?
Ooh.
Because they can communicate with one another. I feel like...
Are they the biggest mammal in the world?
Yeah, I think so. I don't actually know that much about them, but they
right, but you want to be one.
Yeah.
And there we have the end of my three questions.
Amazing. Yasmin, thank you so much for coming on. And congrats, man.
Thank you so much, guys. I'll clap myself. This was fun. I like chatting shit.
This is the outro. See you later. And good luck. Stay lucky, boy.
And there you go. That was the talented, the beautiful, the amazing Yasmin Evans.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about that, Hugo?
Oh, I feel like a new person.
Oh, you do? You look like a million peseta.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, this webcam makes me look red.
No, I love it when you're like a pig. But obviously we're just pretending that we've just come off the back of that podcast. But it's good. Yeah. I've had time to sit with it and I'm still bloody loving it. So
Same.
Big up Yasmin for coming on. Real G, amazing person. Check her show out on One Extra.
Or anything she does.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Also, I want to do a special shout out to someone, a very special person in our life.
Yeah.
Someone that every week begs us to shout him out.
Yeah.
The producer of our show.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to a guy that's put his whole life on the line to produce our show, the famous Rupert Majendi. Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of people call him Majendi. Yeah. Like a lot of people that are very close to him in his life, Ramesh. Yeah. Racist people like Ramesh that are racist against French people call him Majendi, but it's actually Majendi. Okay. Big up Rupert. Big up everyone that helps put this show together, which is just me and you and Rupert.
Yeah. And the editor.
And shout out Jamie.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. No, I love him. Yeah. And make sure this show's edited by the time I wake up tomorrow morning. See you later.
Yeah. See ya.
Nice one.
Hey, yo! Will everyone shut the fuck up? I want to give a crazy, stupid, dope fly shout out to everyone involved in this podcast.
Nah, fuck that. Who's the brain that produces this show, man?
Man like Rupert Majendi.
And who's the audio editor?
James Torrance, check
it. House. Who's the video editor?
Ha ha, James Lord.
And who does all the illustrations?
It's Alison the Ink.
Mad on the visuals, bruh.
Shout all the posse down at Acast Laboratory. Hip-hop, am I right, hustler?
You're not wrong, Playboy Valentino.
How was it? Well, you can't really answer. But we're going to be doing a few more where it's just me and Hugo talking absolute Victorian sluage canal. So if you liked it and you want to send us questions or topics or just anything you want to say about the show, holler us on chattingshit1@gmail.com. That's chattingshit1@gmail.com. Just send your shit in and we'll read it all out. So yeah, that's about it. Big it up, Brian Blessed.